Welcome back to Making an Artist. I'm your host, Shanna Shrum, creative coach, meditation guide, writer, performer, podcaster, and most importantly, live, laugh, lover. And now on to today's guest, Rose Truesdale. She is a writer, singer, freedom, pleasure, and magic seeker. Founder of Creative Women Berlin, and creator of the Rose Knows newsletter. In this episode, we talk about creating rest, how the inner artist needs hospitable conditions to create, giving yourself some fucking credit, and hot girls with IBS. Enjoy. I feel like I'm on a first date because I haven't recorded this podcast in like, since May of last year. So that's May 2020.
Oh my goodness. I'm so honored.
I
love being your date.
Oh my God. Yay. So let's tell the folks in home and in their Hyundai Sonatas. Something to know about me is I love car like
you
names.
Do?
Yeah, like, it's just, like, if you're going to write a short story and somebody's going to get out of a car, like, I want them to get out of, like, a Honda Fit. Like, I want them to get out of a
not a Lamborghini, but, like, a Honda Tucson.
Baby, come on. We're not right. That's not accessible content.
True.
So I always like to start this off as the guests introducing themselves and tell us who you are.
I wish I knew more about cars and could like have a car analog. Like, I'm a Firebird.
Ooh, you know what? You nailed it. You are a Firebird.
That was my teen car, but I totaled it. I'm not a driver. Anywho.
Yeah. I had a girl in high school that got one of those from her daddy. She totaled it too.
I mean, that's what happens. So I will introduce myself.
We'll get to it, everybody. We'll get to it.
So my dad was an auto shop teacher and he somehow scammed the system. So I didn't have to take the driving test. I didn't have to take anything. Well, I mean, I guess it's a good idea in theory, but not when you have a terrified teenage daughter who still doesn't really know how to drive.
Yeah, that's just actually a scam that might be shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it did. The Firebird is no more, and I haven't driven
R.I.P.
in a long-ass time. But I'm Rose.
Yay!
I'm excited to be here. I missed talking to you. I'm so pumped to do it again.
I miss talking to you, too. So, Rose Truesdale. And can we full disclose that you and I have worked together?
Oh, yes. Let's
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. So the folks at home in their Sonatas and their town and countries know that we've worked together in a client coach relationship, which we are no longer in at this present moment.
At this moment. And forever in spirit.
Yes. Oh, 100%. Like, if I work with you, like, I'm 100% like, you're ride or die. Like, I will champion your creations till the end of fucking time.
I believe it.
Tell us, like, what do you make? Who are you? Start from the beginning, the day you were born.
No. The day I was born.
So you are a writer. Like, you are a //. We always have //s on.
Yeah.
Because why be one thing when you can be everything?
Everything.
Yeah. Why not? It's fun.
I'm a // is more fun than multi-hyphenate. But I'm a writer. I'll get into all of it. I'm presently a writer considering a shift. I have a background in opera performance. So
we love that.
Yeah, I'm a performer, a writer. I tend to focus more in the wellness niche. So I write for places like Bon Appetit. I've written for Vice. I have a newsletter that has an astrology bent, so I'm into that lately.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just sort of an eccentric creative lady for just about anything.
Your creative energy. I mean, it's amazing. Thanks. I love all the interests and what I loved about reviving the podcast is like, I just get to talk to people that I really fucking enjoy. So you're one of those people. And I thank you for being here and for bringing all of your creative parts to the table.
Thank you.
I always just let my curiosity like
flow in these session. We're not in session. We're in a podcast recording. needs to turn off their coach. Anyway, can we talk about opera? What got you into opera?
Yeah. So, not to toot my own horn too much, but I just have.
No.
Okay.
No. We fully allow tooting on this podcast. We own our talents and our gifts here.
Okay. Ooh, I love it. All right. Toot my horn all the livelong day.
Yes.
But I just naturally have a pretty big, beautiful opera voice. Like, I was like a, you know, second grader, just like singing the national anthem in my.
Oh my, the national anthem's really hard.
It is hard, but we would sing patriotic songs every day. I don't know. We'll talk about that later. Offline. But in my school, and I would just let it roar. And everyone was shocked. I was just this little scrawny singer.
The tiny girl with the big voice.
Yeah. And it never went away. And I started pursuing it very seriously. But I think this will become a theme in this conversation. I wanted to make it my job too, and as you do.
That's as we're taught too.
Right.
I mean, if you show aptitude at fucking anything,
capitalism gets its claws into you.
It's like, meow, like, let's squeeze all the pleasure out of it.
Well, and that's what happened. So you know, all throughout high school, I was taking voice lessons. I was going to music camps, and I went to Northwestern for opera performance and poetry writing. A really practical and lucrative combo.
Love this for you.
Thank you. I loved it too. I did, but throughout college and then after college, throughout my 20s, when I worked at Lyric Opera of Chicago, it just wasn't a fun time for me. I had to be audition ready constantly. So I couldn't drink. I couldn't speak too loudly at a party. It was like a real drag for someone in their early 20s. I couldn't eat tomato-based foods.
Right, because of the acid.
Yeah, and it really...
I get the indigestion, I know.
You get it. We just talked about this. We did.
Yeah, off recording, we were off talking about how hot girls
get IBS.
we're keeping that in.
I think we should.
If I'm ever late anywhere, that's why.
Oh God, me too.
I'm actually really on time, very punctual person. So if I'm late, the IBS got me.
Oh no. Gut stuff.
So you're in your 20s, your hot girl 20s.
I'm in my hot girl 20s.
You used to be the small girl with the big voice, and now you have to shut the fuck up.
Pretty much, yeah. And
that sucks.
In a super extreme way. Like, you're taught you can't lose your voice, obviously. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. And you're taught not to whisper. Instead, you're supposed to use sort of a, like, Mickey Mouse cartoon voice in your higher register. So I would just live my life like, hello, I'm Rose. And like a, you know, Mary Poppins voice. And it was so weird. My family still thinks it's just the weirdest thing.
I did not know that about officers. I know that you're not supposed to whisper when you lose your voice. Like, I did some vocal training in college and for my acting degree and everything. So you're not supposed to whisper. If you're hoarse, you're supposed to be quiet. I remember a lot of people be walking around with like signs that were like, I'm on vocal rest.
Oh God,
like,
yes, I did that.
Post-its. Yeah, like, sorry, can't talk. Like, I'm on vocal rest right now. But to be that way, and that was like sometimes for actors, but it sounds like this was like a complete, like to have to change your voice to fit in, that's really, especially at such a young age.
Yeah, it really derailed me. And I definitely have perfectionistic tendencies. So it just struck all of my stuff. It just really, it was not healthy for me. So I really heartbreakingly cold turkey gave it up at one point. But I was still working adjacent to opera. I worked at an opera house. And I remember going on vacation with my family. We went to Europe for the first time ever for me. It was Rome. And
that's like home of opera, isn't it?
Right? Yes, like, it is. Well, and it was just so sad because we were staying next to a music school and all of these Italians would be warbling and just like singing out the window. And it was so romantic and just ringing out everywhere. And I would just sit on the balcony and cry. That could have been me. And honestly, I think had I moved to Europe sooner, I forgot to mention that I live in Berlin, Germany currently.
Right. But we are recording from mom's basement in Geneva. We're recording right from mom's now. Basement it's in very Geneva. Glamorous.
I'm back home for the first time in 2 years. But I think had I moved to Europe sooner, I might have been able to. I would have had an easier time, I think. Mm. And we'll see. I mean, that was not my journey at the time. Mm-hmm. But now I'm in a place with music where it's fun again. But I had to take a long break, like a really long break.
Okay. I love that. The break.
Yes.
It's the break that brings us back.
It is. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because I'm having a similar experience with writing.
Yeah. Okay.
So am I just rambling?
No, you're doing – okay. I'm fucking riveted right now.
Like, all right. Let's get to the edge.
Listen, we are in – like, it's pure drama. Like, there's crying on a balcony in Italy. Like, there's, you know, being forced to shut up. Like, oh, my God. Like, are we writing a movie right now?
No.
Maybe we are.
Maybe we are. Can you play me?
Yeah. Oh, I – well, yeah.
I would be honored.
I think I might be a little old to play you.
No way.
That's okay. Age me down. Do a little soft focus. A little Barbara Streisand soft focus. It'll be great.
Maybe we can get Barbara Streisand.
Wow. So, okay. So the break is what brings you back. I also have experienced this, I think, over the past year and a half of when you lose your enthusiasm to continue like pushing and trying to like get blood from a stone.
Right.
Like, no, thank you.
Right.
And so just to pause and sit in the pause and allow what needs to be processed, what needs to be reignited and to like come forward as opposed to like pushing it out. Like, I'm so fucking over that.
Yes.
For myself and for like literally everybody, because maybe it is inauthentic.
Maybe.
Because it's not coming from a place of true self.
Right.
Right? It's coming from a place of like meeting somebody else's external expectation, capitalism, whatever.
And our projected expectations that aren't even
our own. What I should be doing. Right. I should be writing. I should be singing. And it's like, but if I don't want to, then why the fuck would I do that?
Right. Right. I'm here for this. Earlier today I was like, what are we going to talk about? Because I'm not really actively working on anything.
I don't give a shit.
And I know you don't, which I love. You're so encouraging in this way. But I think that's the point. Like I can sense that I'm in danger of burning out on writing too. Okay. So the backstory there is that I write every single day. A few years ago, I decided, like, I'm going to commit to being a professional writer, making mm-hmm. all of my income from writing. Because, again, we're told, like, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, blah, blah, blah. And I really...
Yeah, you do.
You do. You work constantly. You work constantly. So I was so attached to the idea of being, you know, like, a paid artist and being creative all the time. And... so I do that. I write for different magazines and I also write for different brands and advertising agencies. And I have tons of clients and I write every single day. Mm-hmm. And then I still pressure myself to keep up my newsletter. I'd like to write a book. Like, I want to wake up every morning and work on an essay. And it's like, no one can do that. Like, mm-hmm. I can't do that every day. Mm-hmm. And I really push myself for so long. But the worst part would be me beating myself up for not meeting my own absurd expectations.
Right.
So now I'm in, I'd like to think of it as an intentional break. I'm just on break.
She's on sabbatical.
She is.
Like,
she's
like, academia gets that. Right. Why don't we get it?
We should get it. So I'm on sabbatical in Geneva, Illinois from Berlin, Germany.
Love this for you. Thank you. I essentially took a little sabbatical to Utah.
Yes.
And recently, and I've been very like low output the past month or so because I'm resting and I'm recalibrating.
Yeah.
And it is a challenge to give yourself that space and time and permission to do when, I mean, look at our culture. What is it about?
Right. Making money through productivity.
Content. Yeah. Produce content, which I worry sometimes for folks that are always constantly producing. I'm like, what's on the other side of that? Like what?
Burnout. How,
yeah. It's like brings me to something I've been saying a lot lately is like, I don't give a shit what you make. I don't give a shit what you make.
You do say that all the time.
I do say it all the time. I don't give a shit what you make. I care about how you make it and how you feel when you make it. Mm-hmm. And so if you are making rest right now, that's this creative process.
Yes, absolutely. That's such a good reminder. Yeah, I'm making rest right now.
Yeah, she's making rest right now. She's like got her Tupperware. She's whipping it up. With her...
If you love meditating and making things, then I encourage you to check out the Compassionate Creative Collective, an online community whose goal is to make sure you leave each event feeling like you have refilled your well. That despite whatever life throws at you, the Compassionate Creative Collective is a space for you to return to again and again to be nurtured, encouraged, and ignited. Visit CompassionateCreativeCollective.com to learn more and sign up for your free 14-day trial.
So what that brings me to like what have been some of your rest practices or experiences that you're enjoying right now? Like to people who are listening in their Ferraris. give them some like ideas on how they can enact rest and create rest in their life.
Yeah. Well, some of these ideas I'm just ripping straight from you.
Okay.
Were my homework assignment. Oh yeah. Well, you gave me an assignment at one point to give myself credit every day and write a list of, I think you said 3 things to give myself credit for, but I would write like 10 things.
Great. excelled in the assignment.
She excelled in the assignment. Yeah, she did. But I don't do that of my own accord. Like I said, I tend to beat myself up for not meeting my own wild expectations. So I would make myself a little list and be like, she showered today.
She did.
You know, she did her little workout. She made her little lunch or whatever. Just, you know, nothing massive. And unless there was something massive, like it's that practice of celebrating yourself is really key, whatever that looks like. So that's
and it can look so many different ways.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Because I was finding that even when I did meet a big goal or just a long-term achievement that I had put so much work into and just, you know, it like my first Bon Appetit article, it took like 6 months to get published. It was just such a nightmare. And then it was published and it was like, cool, well, that's done. Why don't we, celebrate a little bit more?
Like we're, because it's like, it's like we celebrate so many other things that, I don't want to come off as being shitty towards people who have like the, you know, like the getting married, the baby, getting a new home, all of those things, which are wonderful and should be celebrated. Yes. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we should also be celebrating everything else too. If you're a hot girl with IBS and you take a great shit, like celebrate that.
Yes.
But like if you're in a depressive episode and the clouds start to part and you're able to get up and like go for a walk and meet with a friend and and celebrate that.
Yes.
You know, like if you've been blocked for like 3 months and you finally wrote a paragraph and you don't even know if it's good or not, celebrate that. Like give yourself credit. Give yourself some fucking credit. Like I just don't think the inner artist wants to come out when the conditions are so
rigid,
punitive.
Yes.
And rigid. Yes. Yeah. Rigid and inhospitable. Right. Like if you want to make something, become a hospitable environment for creation to come forth.
I love that. Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Ooh. Yeah, I'm gonna take a sip of water and celebrate that.
Yes, do. I'm gonna celebrate being hydrated. Mine's all gone.
Yes. Oh my God, get your mom to get you some more.
You're creating rest right now.
Yeah, I can't walk upstairs.
That's like my favorite thing about visiting home is I'm like, man, bring me a glass of water. I mean, I've lived alone for like 400 years. Nobody brings me glasses of water.
We're gonna take a giggle break. Pause.
It's vacation.
It's vacation. Yeah, it's parentalcation.
Parentalcation
for all the parentification.
Yeah.
You were gonna say something.
I was gonna say, I've been giving myself some fucking credit regularly. Love that one. I've been doing morning pages.
Yes. Thank you, Julia Cameron, for that.
Thank you, Julia Cameron, and Artist Dates, which
we love her.
We do. We definitely do. And that was something, I mean, I ebb and flow with these practices for sure. Like, when I was meeting with you regularly, that was part of my homework. And so I love homework because I'm a Capricorn, and I was all about it. But I just know about myself that when I am burnt out or just down or just off, what resets me is a day to just walk around and explore and just like put myself out of my regular environment.
Regularly scheduled programming. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And just do something new. So I've been keeping that up.
Beautiful.
And I do my my weird manifestation practices.
Love it. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So it's not my own thing. It is. I wrote a Vice article about it. It's called To Be Magnetic, and it's this sort of. It's extremely woo woo, but it's this. And I wrote an article about. Questioning whether or not it had anything to do with neuroscience because their marketing is like, we're scientific. And I have mixed feelings about it.
But, yeah, we question that.
Yeah, but to me, it doesn't matter. It's just like, it does.
Right, because is it creating pleasure and joy within you?
Is it hurting
anyone else?
Absolutely not.
Then fucking do it.
Yeah, fucking do it. So I do that as often as I can. It's like guided meditation, sort of excavating your subconscious, so your childhood stuff. And weird things come up, traumas come up. And the whole idea is that we don't manifest from our conscious, from our thoughts. We manifest from like what lives deep down below, and that's what blocks us. So it's about cultivating worth and then attracting what you want from there. And to me, it's like, well, I want worth anyway.
Yeah. Like I always want to be in cultivation of deepening of my worth.
Right. So that's been kind of a guiding light through some, you know, dark pandemic times, because it's helped me reframe everything. Like it's very intentional about, you and I worked on a mission statement, but with this practice, you come up with an authentic code. And for me, it was, a self-care, creativity, pleasure, and freedom. And so now when I'm faced with any kind of decision, I'm like, does this align with my authentic code? And sometimes it doesn't. And I'm like, no, goodbye. And that raises your worth. That makes you happier. So I do that.
Well, you call this woo-woo, but from the way that you've utilized it, to me sounds like it's very grounded and rooted in your values.
Definitely.
And so anything that's going to get you excavating and clarified on what your true values are and to be operating from that is great, in my opinion, because it has you in your integrity.
Right.
Because what makes us feel aligned is when we're operating from our values and when we are in integrity.
Yeah, that's a good reminder too. Wait, what would your authentic code be?
My authentic code would be it's probably my mission statement.
Yeah,
which is to evoke your highest, most creative self through play, rest, meditation, curiosity, increased sense of safety, and self-compassion.
Oh,
so anything that doesn't align with that, I don't do.
I mean, it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Because I love that.
Those are my values, like cultivating senses of safety, self-compassion. I, you know, that's, and those are also things that I've struggled with in the past.
Right.
as well.
That's always so the way. Like, you had I mean, to learn those things. The way.
Yeah. I'm always, yeah. you know, we're always going to be walking the path of the thing that heals us.
Mm. Ooh, you're like a little sage.
I've spent a very long time inside
by myself.
The past year and a half has been very interesting. Yeah.
Well, now you're wise. So,
yeah, I got what? Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, quarantine.
That's like a commercial for staying home.
It is. It totally like, is.
Do you want to become? There's actually a podcast by Krista Tippett called Becoming Wise, I believe. And if you don't listen to Krista Tippett, she is probably one of my favorite podcasters. She does a podcast called On Being.
And I've heard of that.
It's so good. Everybody in your Kia Rios, like, pop On Being on after you listen to this podcast. It's so good. Yeah. So, but back to you. How is Germany the past year and a half? How did it affect your creativity?
So
tell me more.
Yeah. So the backstory there is about 4 years ago, right after Trump got elected.
We're going to bleep that out.
Voldemort.
Yeah.
My partner and I moved to Berlin, Germany, and we moved there without any kind of plan, really. I
love it. Seat in your pants.
Totally. And like, we packed. We went over there with two suitcases each and our dog. And I, for a year prior to that, I was planning on going, but we weren't totally sure if it was going to happen or not. But one of the main incentives was I wanted to go full-time freelance with my writing. And I was like, mm-hmm. well, I can do that from anywhere. And I've learned so much, not only about myself and Germany versus the US, but my craft about writing. So I it's been hard. It's been super hard. And I've been in survival mode kind of off and on throughout these 4 years for different reasons. So we got over there and got our freelance artist visas and couldn't get work in Germany for 6 months legally. So I had to kind of out of desperation bring on a bunch more American clients, even though I lived in Germany.
I'm not gonna tell anybody.
I mean, I think that's how rich people do it too.
I'm no fucking narc.
No. Well, they all know. So I've got all these peeps I'm working with. But money has been a thing throughout our experience. I found work about 6 months in, but my partner had a much harder time and we were pretty new to not only living together, but living together in a foreign country through like a series of weird apartments with our
dog.
That's
a couple of layers. Yeah.
Yeah. We had one, first we stayed with a friend, then we moved into kind of a glorified dorm room with a college mini fridge. It was like a shoebox size. And then we moved into a sublet on top of a haunted amusement park, a haunted historical amusement park called Berlin Dungeon.
Okay, I thought it was like – sounds fun.
It was so spooky. I thought it was like a cool sex club, but it's not. And all of their employees dress as like 17th and 18th century German ghouls. So we would walk our dog out late at night and in our courtyard, they would all be, you know, on their smoke breaks in their ghoul makeup and they would pop out at me.
What?
Yeah, that was one. And now we're in another, you know, another apartment, but it's been a series of homes. It's been like multiple different groups of friends because when you're in a new place, you kind of find friends of convenience. So
right at first.
And then the pandemic shifted quite a bit. So that's been tough. Work stuff has been tough. We're open, but we're like ready for the next life move. And that is how Germany has been going. I mean, it's also fun. Like the club scene is great. Like it's as great as everyone thinks it is. It has been great to be there during COVID times. Like they love rules over there. So
I love good rules. Like rules I love that good make rules sense.
Too.
Over stupid there, rules I'll break any old day.
Absolutely. Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it has really helped keep COVID down. And good. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's wholesome in a weird way over there. But it's also so frustrating. Like when I got back to the US, like I said, I haven't been here in 2 years. And I was just like, everyone is so nice to me. No one's yelling at me. And in Germany, someone yells at me like every couple of days.
What are they yelling at you about?
Oh my God. Like I said, we have a dog and I'm walking my dog. And at least once a week, I will get yelled at to pick up a dog's poop. It's not my dog's poop. We're just passing by, just passing through. And they're just in German, like, pick that up. And I'm like, well, but das ist kein mein Hund. My German is also atrocious. Like, I can't defend myself from the yelling.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was that intense. I don't think I would do well in Germany. I do one of two things when I get yelled at. I either just like shut the fuck up, clam up and walk away.
Yeah.
Or I get really like, I become a wild animal and like bark back.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I actually have a bit of a temper sometimes. Something to know about me.
Something to know about you. I mean, I think you might do well over there as long as you sort of match the energy level.
Oh, I can match energy. I just try not to because yep. I want to stay in my energy that as much smart. As I can. But yeah, if push comes to shove, I will lovingly tell someone to fuck off. Like I will send you loving kindness afterwards. But yeah, only to folks who've barked first, generally.
That is inspiring. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the way to be.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about being spiritual and, you know, all of that and compassion and everything. And I think, unfortunately, it gets kind of like if you're compassionate, you think that you also have to be a doormat.
Right.
And what I have found is that doesn't work for me. So.
No, thank you.
And I choose my battles. I'm not out like ready to rear and fight and fuss and, you know, whatever, tussle, as it were. But yeah, like if required, I'm thinking about this story in the book Loving Kindness, actually, by Sharon. Oh my gosh, why is it Salzberg? Sharon Salzberg. And she wrote in her book about when she was being attacked by somebody.
Oh my God.
And she talked about that, about like, yeah, you're compassionate, but you still have to fight back in that moment because your safety is on the line.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's just something that I think, because I think if we remind ourselves that we can be both, if need be, we can actually live in compassion and be more loving and kind because it doesn't require us to be a doormat.
Right. Well, and it's not kind to be a doormat or be a people pleaser. It's manipulative.
Right. And it's not true self-compassion. It's not right. True compassion, because compassion starts with you first.
Right. Right. And then, I mean, I definitely have people pleaser tendencies that I actively.
I don't know anything about people pleaser tendencies. What are you talking about? Please.
Are you kidding me?
Please. I'm a Midwestern woman.
Right.
Like, of course I'm a people pleaser.
I think we all are, definitely.
Where did you
apologize
grow up?
Apologize for everything.
Oh,
the western suburbs of Illinois. So not Geneva, yeah. But I grew up in Glen Ellyn.
Okay. So you've been around your share of casseroles and saying nice things to people. And
like
stuff,
Velveeta
but...
and
and
just apologizing for everything. Like everything.
Yeah.
I think throughout high school and up until probably like 3 or 4 years ago, I would like bump into the wall and apologize to it.
Mm. what stopped that? What has caused you to pull back on the apologizing?
I am a bit more meditative now in general and just mm-hmm. pause before I react. I'm less mm-hmm. instinctual about most things, not everything, but I'm working on it. So yeah, I actually like consciously make a decision before I do most things now, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it's good things happen when you pause. Like right now you're in a pause on writing.
Right.
And so now you can be more conscientious about your next steps. And the same thing when it comes to being reactive.
Yeah.
As if we can pause before we're reactive, we can actually sort through and select the reaction that we want instead of just, what's the word I'm looking for? Just like shitting it out, you know?
Yes. This podcast has a theme.
Yeah.
There's a lot of references. Gut health. Lots of gut health.
Lots of gut health. Drink your kombucha. Truly though, like sitting in the pause, literally pausing before you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, wait, I didn't do anything.
Right. I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry. I have to retract that apology.
Yes. Yes. I have to retract about 1,000 from years prior, but that's okay. I'll let it go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that has been one blessing in Berlin, just becoming less reactive. Because mm-hmm. when I first moved there,
mm-hmm.
I was so reactive.
I was getting yelled at all the time.
That's still a thing. But I just had all of my creature comforts taken away from me. And I had just always been okay. Like, I had always been okay. And I had always trusted that. But it's not that I trusted myself. I trusted it for superficial reasons. Like, I lived where I grew up for the most part. I lived in Chicago. And without, like, my Whole Foods salad bar and my family and all of my coping mechanisms that were largely superficial, I was not okay. And so in a series of like shitty little apartments with flooding showers and like ghouls in the courtyard where I didn't have any money and didn't know the language and things just seemed very, very dire for a while off and on, like I was a mess. Like I was just like a screaming, crying, breaking out mess.
Well, as someone who's sitting across from you in a Zoom right now, I can tell the folks at home that you are no longer a screaming, crying mess, at least in this moment. You have a wonderful haircut. You have great skin. But you bring up a really, unfortunate but true thing about growth,
right?
Is that discomfort.
Oof.
Well, and discomfort is usually what brings us closer, which I hate. That
it does that. Well, like, you're a Cancer. I'm a Cancer rising. I don't like discomfort.
I love being comfortable.
Me too. Like,
I am the person that, like, when we go to the beach for the day, I bring toilet paper wrapped in plastic in case they run out of toilet paper, because I've also been going to the beach for many years. And so that way we can all still go to the bathroom comfortably.
Oh my God. I have to go to the beach with you.
You have to go to the beach. I know how to go. Not on my watch.
Like, Girl Scout. I love it.
There was also a nanny for almost 10 years. So I know how to pack a bag.
I believe it.
And be like, what's the emergency that we're going to run into later today? And it's going to be going, because we're hot girls.
Because we're hot girls with IBS.
And we need toilet paper. We really do have a theme.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's okay. But we're all learning. But the discomfort.
I'm loosey-goosey about these things. Like, I, in some ways, like I said, I'm a delicate flower, and there's certain shit that I like definitely take care of, but it's very individualistic. I might need to work on that. Like I make sure I like have my food and creature comfort sorted for the most part, but I'm loosey goosey about like seasonally appropriate clothing. And I definitely would not think to pack toilet paper in.
Oh, I bring Glide with me. I'm Whoa. Like, anybody have chafing? Like, feel free to like rub this on your thighs. Like,
yes. That is phenomenal. Let's go to the beach.
Okay. I'm free after this. Let's go.
Now, did you know that if you enjoy this podcast, you can help us create it? It's true. Pop on over to the show notes and click on the Support This Podcast link. There you can become a supporter with a monthly contribution of as little as 99 cents. And if that's not in the budget right now, you can support Making an Artist by sharing your favorite episodes and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. All of this will help Making an Artist reach more folks. And as always, any kind of support is deeply appreciated.
Oh, but to bring it back, discomfort grows us. How would you say that all of this has affected you as a creator?
In many ways. I think I've been very uncomfortable, mm-hmm. like I said, off and on in recent years. And I am more forgiving of myself. Like I know creativity is a part of me. I know mm-hmm. I will always return to it. And mm-hmm. so I am less punitive about it, mm-hmm. Which I think is really beautiful.
It is.
It all feels kinder and gentler. And I have a more solid understanding of who I am and that creativity is central to that. So I just, if my output is not what I decided it should be, then I'm not gonna like tear myself down.
Yeah.
As readily anyway.
Yes. Good.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And would you say, I mean, I don't want to be leading, but would you say like your ebbs are a little bit shorter because of that? In some ways, or maybe less difficult.
Less difficult. Okay. I think, yeah, less difficult. I think right now I'm in such a weird transitional space that it's hard to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But given that I took like a decade long break from opera singing, I would say definitely this one will be shorter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, not a whole 10 years.
No, not a whole 10 years. Maybe a few weeks.
Are you working and playing in any other like creative like mediums right now?
Yeah. So I took a bit of a hiatus from my newsletter, but it's, like I said, only been a few week long hiatus, but I'm exploring astrology. That's been really, really fun. Astrology writing has been fun for me because it's got a structure. Like I don't have to like sit there every week and think like, what in the world am I going to write about today? Like I love personal essays. I love writing from a place of personal experience and helping people understand themselves better that way. I think that's some variation of my mission statement.
Yeah.
But astrology, it grounds that in a cosmic way because, you know, you're writing
about...
It's a built-in structure. You're writing about what's happening out there and then, and doing that, you're writing about what's happening in here. And that makes me feel really, really good. So that's been fun and wacky. But then I think I've been more focused on just living a creative life. Like I love expressing myself in all ways. Yeah. And just like my meals are beautiful. And like, I love clothes. I love clothes.
So
other than today, like they're,
you look fabulous.
Thank you.
But this gets to the heart of kind of what I want to do more with this podcast is like to prove that inside everybody lives an artist and that a creative life is accessible and for every single person. Like, I don't care if you sit and do data entry 40 hours a week, you're still an artist.
Right.
You can still live a creative life because you are literally a creation. You create breath. Like, you create thoughts. Like, you create beautiful dinners. You create energies that get passed on to other people.
Right.
And so even when we aren't in active product mode, producing mode, we're still artists. We're still creating every single day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I just need to take a second with that.
Yeah, we can sit with it.
Let's sit with it. I love that. And I extend that compassion towards others so easily, but when it comes to myself, that's not always my natural instinct. So I'm trying to apply that.
Shocking
to me.
It's harder to extend. What? I don't think anybody in the history of humanity has ever had that problem.
No, probably not.
I'm everybody's first. Problem. Like I saw this tweet that was like, "Me, you know, colon." Everybody needs to like be easier on themselves or something like that. And then it's like also me, except you, me, you know, like, like accept yourself. Like everybody else gets loving kindness and compassion and gets extended grace and forgiveness, except for myself.
Except you for know? Me. You're canceled.
Yeah, I'm canceling myself before anybody else has the opportunity to cancel me.
I think we do that.
I absolutely
do that.
Yes.
And so we never try. We never put ourselves out there. And putting myself out there has never been my problem. Like I love it. Like a super duper extrovert. But my hang up is then beating myself up for not maintaining that output.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And to that I always say is that human beings are consistently inconsistent.
Yes. True.
Yeah. And life is always happening.
Yes.
So I don't know.
So wise now, post-pandemic.
Well, we're still in it, baby.
true. Mid-pandemic wisdom.
I mean, I'm just getting tested now to go hang out with people.
I brought a bunch of, they're called Schnell tests in Germany, quick tests, but the nose ones you do yourself, I brought them back with me, like a stack of 40.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, I did a Walgreens purchase before I went to Utah, and it was two boxes of home tests and a set of press-on nails. And I felt
press-ons?
They were press-ons.
They were fabulous.
Don't tell anybody else, Rose, except for everybody that listens to this podcast. But I wore press-ons when I was in Utah and nobody knew.
I loved them. Did they have gems too?
Yeah. Oh, listen, if Kiss Press-On Nails would like to sponsor this podcast.
Wait, look at mine. They're not press-ons though.
I noticed them. They're beautiful.
Thank you.
They're beautiful. Like one hand is black with like white squigglies. The other hand is white with black squigglies. They are the nails of an artist created by an artist. Absolutely.
I just did a hair flip.
I love it. Okay. So one last, maybe I have a couple more questions. Let me dig into my question. My question back one of my favorite questions to ask is, what is a piece of advice you would give your 20-year-old artist?
Oh my gosh. My poor 20-year-old
sweet little angel baby.
Oh no. I mean, I think that's the hardest age. I think your early to mid-20s is just in today's
world. I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground.
I didn't either. And I think creatives are, everyone's an artist, but creatives are so vulnerable in today's society because we are all made to commodify our work or we think we're failing. And I guess I would tell myself that that wasn't true because I was just so lost. And working at an opera house, like feeling so bad that I hadn't become an opera singer and that wasn't working out, but it just wasn't a fit for me at the time. And, you know, when you invest so much into something and when other people have invested in you and you're that young, it's just like, I have let everyone down, including myself. And that's so hard to get past.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, I know. And I would also tell myself, not to date him or him or him.
I would have been like, stay celibate, girl.
Stay away. Stay away. And keep those claws out for the next 10 years of your life at least.
But to be fair, dating those people does form you into the person that you are today.
True. Very true.
And experience, and not to say, it still sucked. It still sucks. Like, I'm not going to take that away from it. But, being lost when you're in your 20s.
Oh, it's part of it.
It's part of it. And it, forms you. You get formed in the fire.
You do. Did you ever read – now Cheryl Strayed is, a big thing. But did you read Dear Sugar?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was so formative for me. Oh, I just felt like every column was – directed so at me good. Specifically, but she wrote one where it was formed in the fire, you are dough. I'm not gonna do any of this I soaked up all of the advice that I could possibly get, and I became really obsessed with
self-care and self-help, and some of it is, you know, batshit crazy, and I like have become more discerning as I've grown into myself, but yeah, I love that stuff.
Thank you so much for being on.
Oh my gosh, is it done? I'm so sad.
I think we've done it. I think we've talked about poop more times than I don't know if that's legal, but
I will allow it.
Just kidding. Every episode's always marked with an explicit because I have a trash ass mouth. I'm from Missouri.
Trash ass.
Trash ass mouth. I will say that because I am a one woman Brene Brown stan account, and she said something really great about cursing. She said, for me not to curse would be for me to not have a part of me be in the conversation. And I'm paraphrasing her there. But when I heard that, I was like, 100%. So for me not to talk about poop if it comes up or any of those things would be me being disingenuous.
It's true. You got to be folks, you.
Yeah, with you, the folks in their
Honda Tucson. Actually, yes. walking down the street today in Geneva again. I live in Europe. I don't even drive. I was walking down the street in Geneva, and a woman who works at the local crystal shop came out, and she was just like, "Excuse me, is that your Honda Tucson?" And I was just like, "Oh no, thank you though."
I didn't even know my Honda made a Tucson.
It's a Honda. I don't know. I don't know.
I love it. Well, so before we jump off of here, where can folks find you? Where can they sign up for the newsletter?
Ooh, oh gosh. Probably through my Instagram is the easiest one.
Yeah,
I'm just at Rose Truesdale. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Substack. So my newsletter is called Rose Knows, but you can
Rose
find that through.
Knows. Yeah. It's so cute.
I was always picked on that growing up. So I'm a know-it-all. That's my thing.
Embrace it.
Yes.
Embrace it. Let them eat your know-it-all now.
I don't even know what that means, but I like
it. I don't either. I just know. You know what it makes me think? It's just like feast on it.
Yes. Oh,
you
yes.
know, that's what I meant by that. Like feast on the fact that I'm embracing what you thought was something that could hurt me.
Yeah. Your shadow side.
Yeah.
Gotta own it.
Yeah, exactly. Embrace it. Well, I embrace you. Thank you so much for being the first guest in over a year and a half-ish. I don't even know math, guys. What is time? And I can't. Yeah. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yay.
Yay.
Well, that's all, folks. Thank you so much for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and enemies. Because inside everyone lives an artist. Podcast music by Lynn and Bone. Art by Jessica Savage, editing and sound by yours truly. Thank you for listening.